Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, the one we worship this day, the new temple, the one we gather around this holy day. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson. Let us pray. Lord, you teach us that we cannot live on mere bread alone, but we live only on every word that comes from your mouth. So give us your life-giving, powerful, strong word today. May it be food for our souls and strength for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, dear friends in Christ, fill in the blank for me this morning. First Lutheran Church is a house of blank. First Lutheran Church is a house of... You might all hear a lot of mumbling from my direction here, but that's okay. If you listened well to the gospel lesson, we all pray from the words of Jesus in John 2 that First Lutheran Church is not a house of trade. May First Lutheran Church never be a house of trade where money dominates. Money, 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 talk of money, we need money, 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 greed. We have our own little business and we need a lot of money. May we never be a house of trade. In John 2, Jesus does this very dramatic act. He clears the temple with a whip. We see the righteous anger of Jesus for his house. Knocks down the money tables and clears out all the animals and all the people there making money. And then he says very clearly and boldly, for then and for now, he says, "Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." Say it with me. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade. It's another commandment along with the Ten Commandments, although it fits in well with the first three of loving God. Little context probably helps. This is Passover time in John chapter 2. It's the time of the Passover. And Jerusalem would be packed with Jews. Probably about 2 million gathered there is a rough estimate of that time in the city of Jerusalem. If you lived within 15 miles of Jerusalem and you were a man or a boy, you had to attend. If you were a man or a boy, had to attend the Passover. And so you had all these people gathering there for the Passover. And two things you wanted to do. You definitely wanted to go to the temple for two reasons. You had to go to the temple. It was the highlight of Passover. You have to go to the temple. Like for Easter or Christmas, you got to go to church. At least then, right? You had to go to the temple, and you want to give an offering, obviously. You want to give an offering in the temple. But the Jewish temple only received Jewish currency. Most people had Roman currency. So they had to exchange their money to make it Jewish currency. And the temple, right there at the temple, they would do that for you. They would exchange your money from Roman currency into Jewish currency, but for a price. If you wanted to exchange, let's say, in our currency, $100, they would charge you $150 and make $50 off of you. Greed, a house of trade. They shouldn't do that anywhere, let alone in the Christian church, ripping off people and fleecing the flock in such a way. And another thing you wanted to do when you were there for the Passover was to make a sacrifice. You had to have a lamb for the Passover and the Passover meal. But you would not want to travel into town with a lamb. It's kind of difficult to take an animal with you and travel. So you would buy an officially approved animal there at the temple. The temple had animals for you. Sheep, oxen, pigeons to make a sacrifice. And they were all approved by the priest that they would accept them. Of course, you had to really give a really good animal. Spotless and so forth. But again, you need a Passover lamb? Yes, we have them here at the temple. We want to serve the people. But it'll cost you. And sometimes a lamb would cost five times as much as what it was worth at the temple at Passover time. So a lamb, normally, again in our currency, say it's $40. At Passover time at the temple, it might cost you $200, but they had you. You had to have a lamb for Passover. You would pay the price. Greed! Money, money, money! Fleecing the flock! And so Jesus is angry. Of course he's angry. How dare you fleece the flock this way? do not make my Father's house a house of what? A house of trade. I pray that when you drive up to our church and you get out of your car and you walk up, I pray that the furthest thing from your mind is money. Now, the church talks about money because money is a gift of God. We want to be good stewards, but it's way down on the list of what we talk about. And I sure hope and pray that when you, again, park and walk up and enter, you're not thinking, oh, no, a sermon about money, more about money, and more about money. They're going to take up another offering today, and then another offering, and more about money, and more about money, and more about money, and more about debt, and money, 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 money. If we do that, tell me, and I will apologize. If that's the dominant thing in the church. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade where money dominates the talk and the church is a little business to make money and have a little gold nugget put away for the future. The Father's house is not to be a house of trade. Well, what kind of a house is it supposed to be then? Well, may it be three things. May the Father's house and First Lutheran Church be a house of teaching. May it be a house of teaching where we teach and teach and preach and preach. As Paul says in the epistle, we preach what, church? We preach Christ crucified. Say that with me. We preach Christ crucified. This is to be a house of preaching and teaching the Word of God. And what is that Word of God? Christ and Him crucified. The forgiveness of sins and the mercy of God and salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. That must dominate the church. Teaching Jesus, preaching Jesus, and people hearing Jesus and trusting Jesus. That's the house of God. Picture the scene. Jesus arrives at the temple. He knocks down the tables, drives them away with the whip. He gets rid of all the animals. The animals are gone. The table is overturned. What's left? Jesus. He's saying, I am the temple. I dominate the temple. All eyes, all ears, all minds, all hearts on me. It's about me. And that's the church. It's all about Jesus Christ. And we preach Christ crucified. Jesus clears the temple. Perhaps twice, we don't know. This is John 2. We do know he clears the temple at Holy Week. And perhaps this is John's version of it, put earlier in his gospel. We don't know. But we know that Jesus clears the temple on the Monday of Holy Week. On Palm Sunday, remember, he enters Jerusalem on the donkey. On Monday, Thursday, he gives the Last Supper. On Good Friday, he dies. The next Sunday is Easter. So on the Monday of Holy Week, when he's entered Jerusalem, he clears the temple. Just like we read here in John chapter 2. Do you know what he does on the Tuesday of Holy Week? It's very significant. On the Tuesday, he doesn't run and hide because he made a lot of people mad here. Now you understand more of why they want to kill him because of how he's embarrassed the leaders. And the leaders need to be embarrassed by what they're doing. They need to be shamed. If only they would repent of this. But on the Tuesday, he goes back to the temple and he teaches the entire day in the temple. It's called the day of teaching or the day of controversy where he answers questions they ask him. The entire day is a day of teaching in the temple. And he teaches many parables. He teaches about the end of the world. The teaching on that Tuesday of Holy Week is the most recorded teaching we have of Jesus in the entire New Testament. The point is this. He clears the temple on Monday, comes back to teach on Tuesday. He is saying, my Father's house is not to be a house of trade, but a house of teaching, of hearing, of learning the entire day if it takes that, if not longer, the entire life, of course. And so we teach and preach Christ and Him crucified. And we long to hear it. You know, about every morning I woke up and turned on the morning news to see what was going on. What was one of the major headlines? Hillary Clinton's emails. Aren't you just dying to know what all those emails say? We got to figure out what are in Hillary Clinton's emails. It's life and death. It's national security. Maybe you care. I really don't care a whole lot. May they figure it out. We're not here to talk about what she did and what she might have done or what they did or what they... That's the world talk. What did they do? What did they do? What did they say? We're here to learn about what God says. And what did God do? And not emails, but eternal life. What's really more important here? That won't make the national news, but it's the news here. Secondly, the Father's house is to be a house of the table. It's a house where the table dominates. I'm not talking about the kitchen table or the dining room table. I'm talking about the communion table. It's our altar called the communion table also. It dominates. It's front and center. You can't take your eyes off of it. It's what's going on here along with teaching. Notice the significance. Jesus overturns tables, we're told specifically. He overturns the money tables because he wants to set up his own table. Get rid of these tables where you're making money. I'm going to set up my own table where you're going to receive mercy and the riches of God. And it won't cost you a dime because I'll pay for it with my death. What an exchange that is. Come with a sinful heart and faith, and you get all the riches of the body and blood of Jesus. Now there's your trade, folks. God for you. Jesus' life for you. Come and get that trade if you want to trade here. I'm going to set up my own table and give you myself, my flesh, my blood that's conquered hell, and you will live. Now come for that. He drives out with a whip the sheep, oxen, and pigeons. Significant. They were animals of sacrifice. He takes a whip nicely to them. I don't think he struck them harshly. But he drives them out. He's angry. Very much foreshadowing. You don't need these sheep, these oxen, these pigeons. I'm your sacrifice. I'm the lamb who will take away your sins. I'm the one who have a whip on my back in a few days. Wait and see. They will whip me and crucify me. I'm the lamb. Come and receive the lamb, and I'll be on the altar. My flesh and blood for you to eat and drink and receive forgiveness and grace and mercy. I'll take your sin and give you salvation. There's an exchange. I'll take your hell and give you heaven. There's an exchange. I'll take your death and give you my life. There's an exchange. Come to my table and receive the riches of heaven at my table, all for free. May this be a house of the table. And thus we have the Lord's Supper twice a week. You want it more? Come and tell me. I'll give it to you either in church or give it to you privately. How we need Christ. He's our food. You going to have some green food on Tuesday? St. Patty's Day? Pat Shamrock Shake? Green shake, green drink. I guess they made the Chicago River, whatever river, green. Do we make the Tennessee River green? I don't know. We Christians, we love green. We sheep love green, the green pasture. Oh, the green pasture of the word that we hear, the sacrament we receive. Oh, we love green. We get green all the time. The green pasture of word and sacrament, and we live. And last of all, may this be a house for the troubled. Oh, yes. May this be a house for the troubled, the grieving, the depressed, the guilt-ridden, the sad, the down, the homeless, the drug addict, the prostitute, the tax collector, the sinner, the poor, miserable sinners, which we all are, for everybody. Come, all you troubled. Come, all you weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is a house for the troubled to receive the gifts of God and the mercy of God. So come and invite everybody else. They are doing the trading, the money tables and the selling of animals. They're doing that in the outer courts of the temple. Now understand the temple. The inner court was where the priests would work and men could go in. That's the way it was in that day. And the outer court was for Gentiles normally. The Gentiles could not go any further than the outer court, but they could come to pray and to learn. And that was a place for the women too. They had their court out there too. And it appears that the leaders had set up their tables and selling animals in that outer court. So there was no room for the Gentiles to even come and pray. And if they could pray, they'd hear the animals all the time and people making money. There's no place for them to learn. And the women for that matter too. And so what Jesus is really angry about, what he's really, really angry about, is not just their greed. It's their lack of love. This is what makes him mad. How dare you do this? When I want the Gentiles, the troubled, the weak, the lowly, the lepers, the diseased, the sick, the dying, I want all those to be here and learn of me. And how dare you make money here and make a stumbling block for them? How dare you do that, church? It's not just greed, it's love and their lack of it. And may we never, ever put a stumbling block for the sick, diseased, dying, troubled people. to come to church is if they're not good enough. You're not like us. Baloney. We're all troubled, miserable sinners, sick and dying people, and how we need Jesus, and how we need to love the world and invite and bring them. You have a place here. Come home to Jesus. Come be with me and learn of his love. We must never, ever put any kind of stumbling block to the troubled out there to come. Open arms. Jesus loves you. May we teach you of him, because we know his love. This is the church. This is the church for the troubled. The story is told of a man who went to his doctor, and the doctor told him, if you run 5 miles a day for 300 days, you will lose 75 pounds. So the man ran 5 miles a day for 300 days, and he lost 75 pounds, but he called his doctor. And the doctor said, did you run 5 miles a day for 300 days? He said, yes, I lost 75 pounds. And the doctor said, what's your problem? The man said, well, I did all that, but I'm 1,500 miles away from home now. That's the world. Trying to do the right thing, but always going further and further away from God. And many people are far away from home. They may be trying. They don't know the way. Far away from home. This is their home. The arms of God is their home. The arms of Jesus and his love is their home. Do we care enough to reach out, to invite, to tell, to love, to seek and to save the troubled, the lost? May First Lutheran Church not be a house of trade, but a house of teaching, a house of the table, a house for all of us troubled souls. And the many more out there. Amen. Say with me. Amen. We rise. We confess our faith.